Well, good morning, everyone. It's so wonderful to see all of you here today on the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. We begin today's worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our opening sentences come from Psalm 65. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed.
O you who hear prayer,
to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation.
The hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas.
The one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with might.
Who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples.
So that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe of your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy.
Let us humble ourselves before God, confess our sin to Him, and ask His gracious forgiveness. We take a moment of silence to reflect upon our sin and the need for Christ our Savior. We pray. Gracious God,
our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive our lips tremble to name what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in the likeness and the image of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Therefore, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We continue our worship with the singing of our song of praise.
Down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm.
Let us pray. God of love, in his ministry your Son Jesus showed his mastery over all the forces of nature, including those of great power. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on him and to trust his guidance in all things as we pass through this world, confident in his care. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our worship continues with readings from Holy Scripture.
The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Job chapter 38. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning star sang together and all of the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked shall be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all of this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle comes from Romans chapter 10. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying,
Take heart,
it is I. Do not be afraid. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, well, it's a ghost! And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue our worship with the singing of our sermon hymn.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There are countless biographies of people throughout history who have endured great storms in life. Most of you may be familiar with the hymn, "When Peace Like a River," or as it's better known, "It Is Well With My Soul." But how many of us are familiar with the story behind the song? This hymn was written after traumatic events in Horatio Spafford's life. The first two events were the death of his four-year-old son. And then it was the great Chicago fire of 1871, which ruined him financially. But the storm didn't stop there. His businesses were further hit by the economic downturn of 1873, at which time he had planned to travel to Europe with his family on a ship. In a very late change of plan, he sent his family on ahead of him while he was delayed in business. And while crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship carrying his family rapidly sank after a collision with another vessel, and all four of his daughters perished. Shortly afterwards, as Spafford traveled to meet his grieving wife, who survived the tragedy, his ship passed near where his daughters had died, and it was there he was inspired to write the words of this hymn. This is the first verse. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." I have often wondered, from what place in the human heart does the inspiration for such peace in the midst of a tragic storm come? While such storms usually bring sadness and anxiety, the gospel for today is a storm of great magnitude, and yet it is a storm that brings peace and calm to the disciples of Jesus and hopefully to us today. Let's look at the text. Jesus and his disciples were in the midst of ministry. Chapter 14 starts off rather ominously with the execution of Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. But Jesus is not deterred from continuing his ministry. He does go off to a desolate place where the crowds had followed. Before dismissing them, he had his disciples gather up some grub for the 5,000 men, plus the women and their children. They rustled up, somehow, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, a meager meal for so many. And amazing as that feat was, it surprises me that his disciples didn't seem to be overly impressed. Even after collecting 12 baskets full of leftover broken pieces. How does that happen? After that miraculous event, Jesus decides it's time for them to leave. However, he puts his disciples on a boat and sends them off to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, but he remains behind to dismiss the crowds. Then he heads up to a mountaintop to pray all night. Probably not that unusual for Jesus, although I do often wonder what he prayed about. Surely it was about his disciples, because he knew that it would be their testimony of his great works that would be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Their faith needed to be bolstered to meet the challenging storms they would face after his ascension into heaven. This was critical ministry for him. In the meantime, the disciples were trudging their way across the Sea of Galilee, and by the next morning, They were many stadia from the shore. A stadia was approximately 607 feet, so roughly two football fields set in line with each other. If you say many stadia, it could have been 2 or 3 miles or more. But to make matters worse, the wind and the waves really kicked up and were going against them. You know, I don't think that that was new to them. Peter, James, and John were experienced fishermen. They knew their way in a small boat in rough waters for sure. I'm sure they were dead tired, but again, they'd been in this place before. What finally brought terror to their hearts was not the wind and the waves pounding against the boat, but the fact that it was probably about dawn when they see what looks like an apparition or ghost walking on the water. And that figure has a startling resemblance to someone they know very well. Hadn't they left Jesus on the shoreline? The ghostly figure is what terrified them. It's easy for us to think, wrongly, that it was the storm that was their major concern, but that wasn't it. It was their encounter with Jesus, who was walking on the water on an early dawn morning. That, my friends, was the big storm. But then this ghostly appearance speaks. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now they had heard the voice of Jesus and recognized him. But even more than seeing Jesus walk on the water, as incredible as that was what he said. Take heart, it is I. In the Greek language, it sounded like ego, a me. I am. I exist. It is I. The Hebrew equivalent for the word God gave to Moses to tell the children of Israel exactly who it was who was sending Moses back with the word of their coming rescue from bondage. God told Moses, tell them, I am, has sent you. So Jesus was applying the Old Testament name of God to himself. They were having an encounter with God. And that's the big storm, not just for the disciples, but it is for us as well. We often talk about many unfortunate things in life as storms, and some of them are pretty devastating. I would not have wanted to be in Beirut, Lebanon this past week when what seemed like an atomic bomb exploded, killing nearly 150 people and demolishing structures within a 5-mile radius of the blast. Some of us think the COVID virus as a big storm because it has taken hundreds of thousands of lives worldwide. Some of us think a diagnosis of cancer or terminal illness is a big storm. That it is, as all these other examples were. But there are countless tragedies throughout history that we remember with sadness because of the impact that they've had on our hearts and minds. The loss of any loved one, especially those who didn't seem to be in any apparent danger, shakes us like a violent storm. But the truly big storm that we all will face one day is our encounter with Almighty God. And the good news here is that God is giving us the opportunity to face the storm now. This is what Peter and the disciples were experiencing in the middle of the Sea of Galilee on a very rough night at sea. And the lesson for Peter and the disciples and for us is clear. Do not be distracted by the winds and waves of life. Jesus has come. His encounter with us, though awesome, is an encounter of love and mercy. It is an encounter which plants and then sustains our faith wherever we are on the sea of life. And what happens next reveals something about our human nature. Peter has been invited to come to Jesus on the water. But somewhere in this impossible event, Peter took his eyes away from Jesus and began to look around. What did he see? He saw the wind and the waves. He was walking on the water. How far? We don't know exactly. But he was able to get close to Jesus before he realizes just where he's standing. And though Matthew doesn't record any expletives, surely Peter had an "oh, ufta" moment, as many of my Norwegian ancestors may say it. And down, down, down he goes into the water. He has only one option to give him life. He must swallow his pride and ask the Lord for help, or he can swallow big gulps of water on his way down the depths of the sea. He chooses the former, thankfully, and calls out to Jesus, "Lord, help me." Even with this small measure of faith, Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and takes hold of him. What glory! Peter encountered the Almighty God in the midst of the storm. This was not a moment to explore the idolatrous options that we see today. There is no coexisting when it comes to our relationship with Christ and all the other so-called gods of this world. Jesus didn't give Peter an option, nor does he give us that option. He is the great I Am, who came into the world to confront us of our idolatry and offer us the free gift of salvation and entrance into the glories of heaven. My friends, as long as Jesus is just one of many options for your salvation, he is no option. We must not be deceived. Jesus responds to Peter, saying, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did your faith waver when you were doing so well? There will be plenty of storms in your life that you must still face, but you do not need to be afraid. The God of creation, the God of the Exodus, the God of the law and the prophets has come to your rescue. It is I. Do not be afraid." And then, as if to put an exclamation point on that idea, Matthew records that as soon as Peter and Jesus got back into the boat, the wind ceased. Extraordinary, but not coincidental. After Peter and Jesus got into the boat and the wind ceased, the text says, "And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" That seems like a funny occasion for a worship service, doesn't it? But that's exactly where we need to be in our relationship with Jesus, no matter what place we stand. And if your worship does not include that faithful confession, it is not real worship. Their worship of Jesus as the Son of God continued, and their faith got even stronger after the storms of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. We see it in their outreach to the world. It was the resurrection of Jesus that confirmed their faith in Him who is able to bring calm to every storm of life. This was not a new thing for God. You know the book of Psalms was Israel's first hymnal. And I think the disciples, and especially Peter's heart, began to race somewhat faster when in their worship they would come to Psalm 107, for example. Knowing what you know now, how does this psalm sound in your life? He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. Or take a look at Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9, which says, O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty as You are, O Lord, with Your faithfulness all around You, You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, You still them. Today, God has come close to you through His Word, and He invites you to come to Him. It may be difficult, for you may be experiencing the buffeting of wind and waves in your life, which are taking away your focus from Christ. You may be seeing the waves of injustice and corruption in society, and our government's inability to bring calm to our battered and broken nation. You may be experiencing the incessant gale force like winds of grief over the unexpected loss of a loved one. You might be hearing the pounding waves that are crushing your health. You may be observing some violent winds at work, tearing apart your marriage or a relationship which is about to plunge into the depths of the sea of abyss. My friends, Jesus has come to bring calm to your life. The storms of life, for sure, will continue, and some of them will scare the life out of you. But today, Christ gives us the opportunity to encounter Him through this wonderful story, so that He may be revealed to you as Almighty God. And when we behold Jesus as the one who makes the cloud His chariot and rides on the wings of the wind, then all the storms of life will pale in comparison with His great glory and ability to bring us calm. Are you prepared for the big storm? The biggest storm you will ever face is your encounter with God. Are you prepared for the biggest storm of your life when Christ will come again in great glory and power? If you have already encountered God by faith and worshiped Him as Peter and the disciples did to their dying day, Jesus will continue to strengthen your weak faith, so that when you breathe your last breath of the turbulent winds of this life, He will be there to rescue you and bring you safely to the calm shores of eternity. This, my friends, is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O Lord our God, we do not presume to know your ways or inform your judgment. We ask you to grant us your Holy Spirit, so that we may apprehend your ways and know your Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. Give us wisdom that we may trust in your word amid the stormy seas of this mortal life, and be safely delivered from all danger unto the eternal shores of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord our God, we have no righteousness of our own, but only the righteousness of Christ, into which we are clothed in baptism. Grant us grace that we may be faithful in every circumstance and bold in the confession of his saving name. Guard those who preach your word to us, so that hearing we may believe, and believing we may have everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord our God, we see the great need and ask you to raise up those who will serve us as pastors, teachers, missionaries, and in all church work vocations. Bless church planters and younger congregations that they may endure. Bring hope and renewal to all struggling congregations and to the pastors who serve them. And do not let fear keep us from your word and sacraments. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, our God, we ask you to bless us, our nation, and those who lead us. Guide all elected and appointed civil servants in their judgments, that we may know justice in our land and peace among the nations. Make us especially mindful of those who need our special protection, the unborn, the aged, and the oppressed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, our God, remember the sick, those who suffer, those troubled in mind, the grieving, and the dying. Deliver them according to your will, and grant them the comfort of your word in their afflictions, that they may depend upon your mercy in every circumstance. Hear us, especially for Paul Chosa, as he recovers from COVID-19. We also thank you for the continued healing of John Geffrith, who is recovering from a heart attack. We also ask that you now hear the silent petition of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord our God, we give thanks for the saints of old who trusted in you in life and now rest in Christ from all of their labors. We remember this day especially Jim Kuba, the family of Jim Kuba, Cheryl Linsell's uncle, who passed earlier this week. Deliver us from all evil and lead us through all temptation, so that at last we may join them in the marriage supper of the Lamb in your kingdom without end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord our God, we give thanks to you for the gift of life, which you have given to all people. We especially remember Gavin Hill, Haley Bartimus, Victoria Stocky, and George Cruz as they celebrate their birthdays this week. We also remember and thank you for the gift of marriage that you have made for all people partners to help in the task of serving your will here on earth. We remember and celebrate with Phil and Brittany Sterling and Dan and Rachel Schmidt, who have anniversaries this week. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. O Lord our God, we pray you to be our light in darkness, our strength in weakness, our courage in fear, and our peace in distress. Speak to us by the voice of your word, that we may call upon you in the day of trouble and confess your saving name before all people. Hear us on behalf of ourselves and for those for whom we have prayed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And remember us in your kingdom, Lord, and teach us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you all his peace. Amen. Now go in that peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. We conclude our service with the singing of our closing hymn, This Is My Father's World.
I find my rest with Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Oh God, how I